Hello, and welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. If you don't want a cookie cutter generic home, and instead you want a beautiful, meaningful home that's layered with personality, then you are going to be so inspired by the conversations we have on this show. We talk about why the environments we create matter and how to set up our rooms to evoke specific feelings and experiences that are right for you wherever you are in your life right now. I'm Zandra, your host and creator of the Slow Style Home Framework that teaches you how to make really thoughtful and informed decisions about your home rather than chasing current trends that may not last or staying stuck with rooms you hate, feeling overwhelmed with too many choices. Right now, when you join our monthly membership, the Slow Style Society, you'll get a personalized deep dive into your vision of what a dream home looks and feels like. And together, we'll come up with a plan on how to achieve that. If that sounds pretty awesome to you, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society for all of the details. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. Right now, let's just jump into today's episode. Okay, here we are at the end of 2023, or almost. It's at least the end of the show for this year. Thank you all for hanging in there with me during these past 3 weeks as I've re-released old episodes that I thought were appropriate or relevant, I guess is a better word, for this time of the year. I am spending some time dealing with my dad's passing, as I've mentioned, and boy, there's a lot to do. If any of you have lost a parent, especially if you are an only child, as I am, I'm my dad's only kid, there's a lot to do. And in between it all, of course, you are coming to terms with the finality of it all. So, in some ways, it feels like a really good time of year to be doing this, even though, you know, spirits are bright, as the song goes. It's also the end of a year. And January, I mean, I'm very, I guess, traditional or something in that I really grab onto the whole idea of a new start at the beginning of a year. So, you know, this is just a big reminder to me that life, all life is cyclical and it all has its seasons. So anyway, on to today's episode, which was originally aired, I believe, 2+ years ago. We are going to be exploring the real power, the emotional impact, I guess, of bringing handmade things into your home. And I wanted to highlight this because there are still some shopping days left in this year if you are still needing to get some gifts for people and to just consider buying something that is handmade. It makes a difference in so many ways, obviously economically, but also environmentally, and also in terms of the things that we're bringing into our homes and the meanings that they hold, the human touch. My guest is Anitra Terrell. She is the shop owner of Reflection Design, and she works with makers in different parts of Africa to pay them fairly and to bring their beautiful, soul-filled works to our country and in America. So I'm not going to say any more about it. Let's just get on with the interview. My guest is Anitra Terrell, founder of Reflection Design, an online shop that sells handcrafted art, textiles, and servingware, all made from artisans Anitra has sought out in several African countries, such as Ghana, Kenya, Burkina Faso, Uganda. There are more. In this conversation, we talk about how she first started collecting textiles and the stories behind some of the objects she sells, and also the impact you can have when you know where things come from. It's all good stuff, but maybe the best part of the interview is at the very end when Anitra talks about why style matters. She has a pretty fabulous answer. I think you're really going to love that part. So let's get started. Here is Anitra. Anitra Terrell, welcome to the Style Matters podcast. We've already been talking for a few minutes before we started, and I already know that this is going to be a great conversation.
Yes, I'm excited too. I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good. Before we talk about the start of your business, Reflection Design, I want to know a little bit about how you came to this point in your life. You mentioned to me that there are lots of chapters, so I would love a little rundown, a little peek into how you became who you are today. And I know part of it, at least for the Reflection Design business part of it, started when you were a Fulbright scholar over in Ghana. And I think it was your interest in textiles that brought you there. Is that right?
It was actually twofold. I was in Ghana as a Fulbright scholar. At the time, I was actually an associate professor of marketing.
Marketing, okay.
So I was teaching at the college level, and I went to Ghana to work with professors at the University of Cape Coast to develop curriculum and discuss marketing within the nonprofit sector.
Huh, interesting.
Like how to help nonprofits, whether it's museums or, you know, galleries, et cetera, schools.
Yeah.
Helping them with their marketing. So coming up with ways to develop curriculum around that. So that's what got me to Ghana. Once the word got out that I was traveling to Ghana, a friend of mine who is a consultant was working with a large museum at the city that I was in at the time, and told them that I was going. And they reached out to me and said, can you purchase textiles for our permanent collection?
You're kidding. Oh my gosh.
While you're there.
That's quite a big ask. Okay.
Of course I said yes.
Yes. I mean, that's so exciting. Yeah.
So exciting. So I would spend my mornings in academia and my afternoons and evenings in the marketplaces and artisan communities, purchasing textiles, learning about textiles, negotiating for pieces. Wow. And so it was an amazing experience that I was able to activate kind of both sides of my brain, so to speak.
Yeah.
From a creative standpoint and also from a curriculum development standpoint.
Okay, so here you are in Ghana. You are falling in love with these textiles, even though you didn't really have, that wasn't necessarily part of your world before this. Then what happened? Because that's kind of, there's a lot that must have happened between then and where you are now.
Right. So African textiles and art and culture was always a part of my life in a sense that I'm originally from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And as you may know, Philly is known as a very culturally rich city.
Yes.
Lots of museums, from the murals that the city is famous for, many artists that come out of that city. There's lots of festivals that happen every year, the Adunde Festival, for example. Mm. It was always a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. But career-wise, I hadn't pursued it. But interestingly, yeah. I had always, you know, I had went to school for business, you know, bachelor's and MBA in marketing, but I always geared my interest in marketing towards the arts.
Huh. Okay.
So I would have these amazing short-term experiences in the arts, but then I would continue to go on to the more traditional career path. I continued in higher ed for a while, and then I ended up transitioning to doing more talent acquisition and recruiting.
Huh, okay.
I ended up being laid off. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to around 2013.
When everyone was getting laid off, yes.
Yes, and so I ended up getting laid off, and I took it as a sign that it was time to forge my own path instead of a setback.
Yeah.
But in order to figure out what the next step would be, I decided to sit still and think about what were the happiest moments in my life. Mm-hmm. Where was I? Who was there? What was happening, et cetera. And the trip that I had taken to Ghana a few years prior kept coming up. What do I do with that? And I still wasn't 100% sure until one day I was in the store shopping for bedding. And I saw a lot of nice things on the shelves. You know, you go to the store and like, oh, this is nice. This, yeah. You know, but nothing that really resonated with me. Nothing that really reflected my experiences, who I am, my lifestyle. And that was the light bulb moment. Yeah, that was when I decided this is how I can share my love of African art and textiles.
You know, you make it sound simple. I'm sure it hasn't been all simple, but you make it sound like when you sit quietly and you figure out what brings me joy and to follow and to be brave enough to follow that. I mean, it's all, you know, the dominoes have lined up and here you are.
Yeah, it certainly was not easy. I'll say that now because I started a business after being laid off, you know, just to put that in context. So I had savings and a wing and a prayer.
Yeah. And the savings, you're probably thinking this has got to be for rent, not for put or my mortgage, not for putting into my business. Right. I mean, you put it into your business.
I did. And that lasted maybe about 2 years. And eventually it got to the point where I said, I have to go back to work because savings are exhausted and I can only reinvest what I am making. But so I ended up getting a job and working my reflection design part time. And believe it or not, about 6 or so months, might have been 7 months, but well, a few months into that job, I was laid off again.
Oh no. Oh God.
True story. So I said, all right, I'm going to go back to my business. I'm going to make this work. And I did. And it was another maybe year and a half of trudging along. And again, I got to that point where I said, okay, it's lean times again. I got to go back to work. And I went back again, different job. And once again,
you did not get laid off again.
I got laid off again. Oh. The company decided to relocate offices, moved out of state.
Oh, geez.
And bam, unemployed. Oh. So this is 3 times.
Wow.
True story. 3 times. And after the 3rd time, I said, you know what? This is truly a sign that going back to work is not the answer.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's one way to look at it. That's the way to look at it when you want to be following the joy and having the life that you want to create, but that it takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, it was a very trying time because you start to question everything. You question your business, you question yourself, you question your employability.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I said after the 3rd time, I said, that's it. I'm not going back. And I haven't gone back since. And that was probably about 2018.
Oh, congratulations. I mean, you are meant to be doing this. I know it. And I'm very inspired by your resilience, your perseverance. I think all of us who are trying something and are passionate about it, whether it's a job or not, are going to be inspired by this. It's very comforting to hear, considering, you know, how beautiful and wonderful your business is at this point. I want to jump into the name of the company, Reflection Design, and specifically the logo, because I read somewhere, it might have been on your blog, I'm not sure, that the imagery and the logo are actual symbols, and they have translations. I want to know what they mean to you. What do they represent for your company?
Sure. So thank you for asking that question. You're right. There are symbols in the logo. They're called Adinkra symbols. And Adinkra symbols originate from the Akan people of Ghana. And so at the top of the logo, you'll see it kind of looks like almost like a person with a hat on.
Yeah.
Or it might look like a hat or a house, I should say. The name is Jiwa Ani, which translates to enjoy yourself.
Oh.
And the symbol represents the joy of living. The horizontal symbol that goes across the center of the logo kind of looks like crisscross lines. That symbol is Owo Foro Adobe, which translates to ingenuity or persistence.
Okay, well, there we go.
Yes, yes. And it refers to a snake climbing a raffia tree or any type of dangerous endeavor that requires ingenuity and persistence.
Right, right. Those are just two beautiful symbols that definitely encapsulate your story so far. I mean, yes, the complete joy that I see coming out of these photos of the products that you're selling, the vibrant colors and the craftsmanship, they're so beautiful. They're so happy looking. And then this climbing the raffia trellis or whatever it is that, you know, to get to where you're going. I mean, I guess we need both of those things in our lives. We need the ability to persevere during the tough times or the lean times, as you've said. And we also need and deserve beauty. I think no matter what's going on, we all as humans deserve beauty. So we're going to start digging into the reason why you have gravitated toward the products that you sell and the artisans that you work with. Having one's ancestry or country of origin represented in a home, I think it's one of the best ways to decorate in that you're really sharing a piece of yourself with whomever you're bringing into your home. It's very personal. What do you love about it?
I think having art and decor from your origins, I think it grounds you and it reminds you of who you are and where you've come from. It also reminds you of the beauty of who you are and where you come from, the artistry of your origins, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And what better place to feel grounded and feel inspired than at home?
Mm. Yes.
I think that's the first place we should feel a sense of pride and a sense of connection to the people and places that make up who we are, from our ancestors to our immediate family. You know, we have pictures of our parents or our children or nieces and nephews in our home for a reason. That is our community. That is our lineage. That is our connection to our past and our future. And so I think it's important to represent yourself at home so that when you leave home and you're out in this world, you feel grounded and you feel a sense of pride because you see yourself, which is what reflection design is all about. Seeing yourself at home so that when you go out into the world, you feel that much more grounded, that much more filled with pride, and that much more connected to who you are and where you come from.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I never put that together. Reflection, the name of your company, with this idea. So you can see yourself in your most, you know, sacred and safe space. You can see yourself when you go out into the world. That's pretty powerful. And wonderful. I think a lot of us started becoming, you know, ancestry.com and all those websites, it became like really popular all of a sudden. I guess because being able to be on the internet and all this technology that we all have now, people started really getting into trying to trace where they came from. That's what I love about it. It's just, there's just so many stories packed in there. So continuing on with this a little bit, since building your shop, you've expanded, you know, you started in Ghana, you started with artisans in Ghana, and I assume you started with fabric, but now you have other things coming in from Ghana, but then also you've expanded to Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda. And I'm just curious, like, are you following your own curiosity about art, artisans, culture, or is there something else that's driving where you decide to pull from?
Well, it's kind of a mixture of what I was saying earlier, you know, pulling from both sides of my mind. I have the creative side that in an ideal world would have something in the store from every country on the continent.
Okay.
If that was possible. But I also wear my business hat, and that's my, you know, that's my training, that's my education. Sure. And so I have to be to also be very mindful and very strategic. I did start with pillows and eventually expanded to tableware and then baskets. And then it ended up growing into a couple of accessories. I have earrings as well and hand fans on the site. But it's important for me to grow intentionally, purposefully, but also, you know, understand what's going on in the market, what are customers asking for. So finding a way to marry the two.
So what are you hearing along those lines? Like, what do you think people are looking for?
Art has become, which I'm like, yes, finally.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear that. I mean, I love it.
I want everyone to buy more art, more real art. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so art has become the in-demand product, whether it's baskets, whether it's the woven fans, whether it's actual wood masks, whether it's art prints or paintings, any form, figurines, any yeah. form of art, people are clamoring for it. And I love it because I've been campaigning for art for the longest. Like, come on, people. Yes.
I know. I know. Well, we have to have a whole other conversation about that at some other time, because that's like a personal goal of mine through this show, is to help people not feel intimidated by it and also understand the value of it, so that they are, you know, that they invest in it. I mean, it's life-giving inside a home.
It really is.
I want to talk a little bit about some specific things that you sell, just to give an example of what we're talking about in terms of that depth of story. Tell us a little bit about the passport masks that I realize are sold out at this point, but I just loved reading about these.
So I'm working on getting more. Good. I'm glad. First and foremost, yes, the passport masks are about 5 to 7 inches in length. So mm-hmm. they literally can fit in the palm of your hand. They are made of wood and often hand-carved wood. And often there's a resin or a material that is kind of sanded onto it to create the colors. And the passport masks were the original form of identification. So before there was driver's license, like probably centuries before there was driver's license. Right. So a mask was created to identify what tribe or region of the country the individual was from. Oh. So as they traveled throughout either their country or going to neighboring countries, they were able to present the passport mask to show where they're from.
That is just so cool. And that must also mean that many different tribes were doing this, because, you know, it was recognizable as a thing whenever you would meet somebody from a different tribe.
Yes. Yes. So many of the tribes would create their own masks, so it would be easily identifiable, because sometimes there might be a language barrier, mm-hmm. but at least visually you would know, okay, mm-hmm. this is where the person is from. And so I usually offer them in sets of three because they are mm-hmm. smaller. And we all know three is that magical visual number. I offer them in sets of three because they're smaller. So you're able to create more of the drama, more of the experience when you have three of them together versus just one. The particular ones, passport masks that I sell, are made in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Okay. And I get a little bit of chills when I think about this, because we're talking about passports now. We're talking about, you know, a vaccine passport possibly, or we're just even talking about the ability to finally travel again and needing our passports. And, you know, what you said earlier about all of this time we've been spending at home and how we've done a lot of self-reflection, I think, and we're seeing our homes reflect who we are. And sometimes we like what we see and sometimes we don't. And just being able to connect that to this idea from centuries ago of these visual, you know, little pieces of art that represented who the person was, and to have that kind of, I don't know, in my home while I'm also kind of on the other side of COVID, it's just cool. I love when things find those weird connections like that.
We'll be back after a quick break.
I assume you're here because you want a one-of-a-kind, personality-filled home, right? Well, in order to have that, you need to define and develop your signature style. When you do that, you're going to understand how to mix what you already have with new things you find, focusing on who you are and what you love, putting it all together in a cohesive way. So what's stopping you? Well, let me know if this sounds about right. Not enough time, not enough money, and a lack of creativity or design knowledge, which makes you feel overwhelmed and insecure about pulling the trigger and changing things up. This is why I created the Slow Style Society, to help you take action on making your dream home a reality. It's part social club for people who like to just geek out on design, and part hands-on learning experience where you get better and better at making decor decisions for each room in your home. And for the next few weeks, I'm offering all new members an additional one-on-one style session with yours truly. So I'll take you through the lessons so you know exactly what to focus on inside the Slow Style framework, in what order, and you'll have a personalized support system from me to get you there. Go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society so we can get started right away. Let's not wait for that imaginary perfect time to create your beautiful, meaningful home. Again, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society. Okay, back to the episode.
Well, it reminds us that things change, but they also remain the same.
Mm. Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay, another thing I want to ask you about are the things that I keep talking to you about that I'm absolutely in love with, and that's these fans. The ones from Burkina Faso I really love, but you have some new ones, at least new to me, that are, I think, from Ghana. They're you know, woven fans that people would hold in their hands to cool themselves down. Can you tell us a little bit about how those are made?
Yeah. So these are probably one of my most popular items in the shop. And it's easy to see why. The woven hand fans, I call them functional pieces of art.
Yes. Good way to describe it.
Because you can create a whole gallery wall of fans. You can, get a bunch of them and hang them on the wall. And they add so much warmth and depth because they're woven with elephant grass. So you get that texture. And they also have leather handles. So you also get that warmth from the leather, but also the texture from the elephant grass. And they're made in all kinds of colors and styles. You could go very neutral with a navy blue and a natural, or you could go wild with, a fan that's made with purple and orange and green and yellow. But if you're hot, you can also use that puppy to fan yourself off.
Absolutely, you can. I mean, I would totally. I wouldn't just keep them on the wall. That's just where I would store them when I'm not using them.
Exactly.
And the colors, these are all natural dyes as well?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, the colors are unbelievable. I'm actually currently trying for the very first time to weave a basket. I every once in a while I feel like so much of my work is on the computer, and every once in a while I just want to do something that's fun and creative with my hands. And so this time around it was weaving a basket, and oh my gosh. I mean, I already had respect for weavers, but wow. I mean, these patterns that they do are absolutely incredible. Okay, one other thing that I want to ask you about, kind of segue into another question here. I'm guessing that when you see reproductions of this, what I would call generic African art, like it's so generic that it's not even clear what specific country or tribe it's trying to emulate. But you see, we see them a lot now. They've gained a lot of popularity because people on Instagram or Pinterest with these gorgeous homes who have traveled maybe or bought some things from artisans, and now they've got them on their walls. And so now, all the big producers copy this stuff, right? And one of the ones that I think I've been seeing for a couple of years are hand-woven baskets, which we were just talking about. I remember seeing a wall of them in a hotel in South Africa that was just, it was a huge tall wall, and it was just absolutely stunning. And now, you kind of see baskets, and I want to give you a chance to tell us why should we not buy those? Why should we try to seek out the real thing?
This topic is a tricky one to navigate.
It is. And believe me, I have to say to everyone, like, I don't ever want to come across as a snob. I shop at Target too, right? But keep going.
You should definitely start with and support businesses that sell the authentic pieces. I think it's the right thing to do. And I think nowadays with technology, it's very easy to find them because often that's the first go-to response. Well, I don't know where they are. I think nowadays it's very easy to find them, whether it's through Instagram, whether it's through Google search, whether it's through Pinterest. Look for businesses, which are typically small to medium-sized businesses that sell the original art, whether it's a basket, whether it is, you know, table napkins or you know, a wooden olive wood coffee spoon. Start your search there. And because not only are you supporting that small business, you're also supporting the artisans who make all this beautiful work. And I think as more people do that, they'll see the difference. They'll see the difference in the quality. They'll see the difference in the artistry. And they may decide, you know, I don't want to go to a large retailer. Once they have that experience shopping small and supporting artisans, they won't want to go to a large retailer. You, as a shopper, you have much more of a direct connection, a touch point to actually supporting small businesses and also supporting the artisans when you shop small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people sometimes feel a little overwhelmed with all of the, you know, the major problems in the world. Well, what can I do? How, you know, what can little old me, what, you know, how could I possibly have an impact? And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a much more direct way of impacting an economy, both where you, you know, where you're buying from, but also where the product is coming from than any other way, especially if you can't travel there. You know, I used to feel kind of weird about wanting to pick something up from a country that I'd never been to. Like it felt inauthentic to me, right? And so for instance, I've never been to Burkina Faso, but I would love to still have something from that country, that culture that I can start to understand, that I could start to learn about. Because it's so easy visually to appreciate what it is, but to also know the story behind it and to start to understand how it's made and why. And to me, that's the reason to buy from you, and to support these artisans. It's so much more fun, really. I mean, it's fun. It's not just deep and meaningful. It's just fun.
It is fun. And the closer you are to the artisan, the more likely you are to learn more about the item. So as you're going on this fun exploration, why not get as close to the source as possible?
Yeah. All right. Last question. And this is my signature question that I ask all my guests. So my audience knows exactly what I'm going to say next. Anitra, why does style matter?
Style and beauty matters because it is our internal shared externally. It is the most confident way that we can share how we feel on the inside externally. Mm. And the more opportunities that we have to show how we feel and who we are and how we represent ourselves, I think the happier we'll be as individuals, but also as a collective, as a community, as a nation.
Yeah.
The more we're able to be who we are unapologetically, not only be okay with it within ourselves, but have others okay with that too. Mm-hmm. Like, let's all be who we are. Let's not suppress it. Let's not shy away from it. Let's embrace who we are and show it every chance we get. What better way to share our version of joy? You know, I think style is our individual version of joy.
And if we would just do that genuinely, there, you know, I think kindness would follow. If you're vulnerable with somebody and sharing, you know, some pieces of who you truly are, then hopefully that opens up a bit of empathy, and then, you know, the chain goes on and on. At least that's the hope.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the uneasiness that we have within ourselves, the wrestling that we may have within ourselves, is because we are trying to conform to some other narrative that's not ourselves. Style matters and beauty matters because we need to ease that friction and be who we are. And the more that we are at ease, the more we can be listening, be willing to listen to others, and be willing to engage mm-hmm. with others, because we're not battling ourselves internally. When you're this free is- inside, you're free to listen to others and be present for others when you're free and present within yourself.
This has been my favorite part of the interview. Thank you. That is such a great response to that question. Sometimes the question's really hard. You know, it's very, you know, it's not very concrete. So, well, that was really beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you for your time today. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. I've enjoyed talking with you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable, and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air, and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day, and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.